Okay. Today's Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. We're on Kuf Nun Zayin. We're up to the Mishnah. I don't know, but eight lines from the top. Brand new topic. It's a little related to Shchimera, not really. It's a brand new topic. Continues at least through tomorrow. Topic is about when two people die, we don't know who died first. There was a building collapse, two people died, we don't know who died first. We don't know who Yarsh and who. It's about Yerusha. The Gemara is not going to get to this Mishnah until way on the base. We're going to start off a whole tangent, and then we're going to get to this Mishnah. So first you have to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah itself is not easy. Says the Mishnah, Nafal Bayis Olav V'Yel Aviv. If the house collapses on the father and on Reuven, so it's Yaakov and Reuven die in a building collapse. And we don't know who died first. Right? It's very vital. Or Olav V'Yel Morishav. Or, let's say, Reuven and his brother Levi. And Levi had no children, and Reuven's the only one who's going to yarshen him. So that's the case. It's Reuven and someone who yarshens from, or Reuven and his father. It doesn't make a difference. Tomorrow's daf is the husband and the wife. The husband and wife die, so there's a ksufa issue. That's tomorrow's daf. Now, v'haisa olav, ksuvas isha, this Reuven owed his wife a ksuva, right? He's a married man. She doesn't yarshen him. Why? Because he had children. So the children yarshen, not the wife, but there was a ksuva to pay. Ubal chov, he also owed money to people. He also owed money to people, right? Now, if Reuven died first, what happened to all his assets? It went to his father. One second. Oh, they didn't have any children. I'm sorry. There were no children. There were no children, right?
No, there's a son or an heir.
What? Okay. It doesn't. So let's just read the Mishnah. I don't want to make it more complicated than I have to. So, Yarsheha of the Yarshim of the father, who are they? Shimon, Levi, Yehudi, Issachar. They're the Yarshim of the father, right? They're the other sons of the father. Yarsheha of Omrim, they say, Haben Meis Rishon. Reuven died first. Therefore,
everything belongs to the father.
Everything belongs to the father.
And now they get it.
And then Yaakov died. Now they will split Reuven's estate. Now they don't know that happened. That's what they're arguing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what happened. Nobody knows. But they'll put forward that argument. Why? Because it's monetarily the best thing for them to say. They have no idea. So Haben Yosha of Omrim Haben Meis Rishon V'Yachagach Meis of Ubal Chov Omrim, and the guy who's owed the money, right? This guy Hananiah, we'll call him. He is owed money by Reuven. Ha'av, he says, Ha'av Meis Rishon. Yaakov, the father, died first. Therefore, what happened? Reuven yarshened him. And even if Reuven yarshened him along with Shimon Levi, it's irrelevant. The bottom line is that Reuven died second. If Reuven died second, he owned something when he died. If he owns something, he has to pay me. Right? His children will pay me. Right? His yarshin will pay me. I get the money. If Reuven died first, I don't get anything. Right? V'yachakach meis haben. Then afterwards the son died. Okay, so what do you do? Classic case, what do you do? Beishame omrim. Beishame says, yachloku. You split it. Why do you split it? Let's look at the Rashbam. Beishame omrim yachloku. Kedimafaresh taima biyivames biyivamas b'hacholetz. We already had this in Givamas in Perek Hacholetz. The af al gath, even though the yarshe ha'av vaday yarshim, they're vaday b'hai mamon with this money. Ubalchov safek, and the balchov is a safek. Why is he a safek? Why is he any more of a safek than they're vaday? The ka'asi safek umotzi mide vaday, and a safek trying to take away from a vaday. Kasavi beishamai shtar ha'omed ligvos kigavos dami. A shtar that's ready to be collected is as if it's collected. So this guy, Hananiah, is owed $1,000 by Reuven. So it's as if he already collected $1,000. He didn't collect it yet. It's as if. It's standing ready to be collected. So it's as if it's ready to be collected. Therefore, the Tarvayu Vaday Chashivi. They're both considered Vadais. We have a Vaday against the Vaday. What's the Vaday? The Vaday is that I'm a relative. The other Vadayid, I have a star here, they owe me $1,000. They both claims are different, but they're equal. Therefore, we split it 50-50. That's Bishamai. Very difficult shita. We're not even going to discuss the shita, really. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Beit Hillel says, no, Nechasim Biches Kasam. Nechasim stay where they are. Nothing moves. You want to remove it? Hamotzi Mechavero Ol Haraya. Oh, so let's read the Rashbam. Rashbam's not going to say that. Rashbam's something different. The next Rashbam, that Beit Hillel Savri, Nechasim Biches Kasam, Biches Kas Yorshe Ha'av. Right? It stays the Chazakah of the Yorshim of the Father. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Shahrehem Yorshim Vadai. They're Vadai Yorshim. Ome Yaakov, Ome Ruvain. Uke Muchzak Damo. They're the Muchzak. They're holding on to the property. Shahre Yaakov Muchzak Binachas of Hayu. Right? Yaakov was the Muchzak. It's his land. The Elu Boim Mikocho. They stand in his shoes. Ubal Chov Safek. And a Bal Chov is a Safek. The Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. Everybody, all the Rishonim jump on the Rashbam. What's he talking about? Just very simple. Hamotzi mechaver ol haraya. I'm the Muchzak. It's in my family's possession. You, Mr. Hananya, you want to take the money? Prove it. I will gladly give you. What's Rashbam doing over here? Safek, vadai. He's made it much more complicated than he had to. The hill is much more simple. Hamotzi mechaver ol haraya. We don't know what to do. We have a Safek, right? We have a Safek. The property stays where it is until you prove otherwise. Very simple. Okay? That's the Mishnah. We're not even going to discuss this case until way later. Now the Gemara pipes up with a whole questionnaire. Tanan Hasam. We learned over there. Where's over there? A week from now. Next week. Hamal v'etzchaveiro b'shtar. If somebody lends his friend money with a shtar, go v'minachasim mishubatim. This is such a true, we know this like since we're in sixth grade. If you have money with a shtar, you can collect from the chasim mishubadim. What's the chasim mishubadim? Land. We said yesterday, because land you can't hide. I know the land's there. So if you owe me money and you sold land to someone else, I can take that land away. Right? You owe me money. What are you selling your land for? Right? I get the edim, but if it's only edim, meaning there is no shtar, then govim in the chasim b'nei chorin. Then I can only collect from the chasim b'nei chorin. That's clear. No one has a kash on that. Right? Here is Shmuel's question, which we're going to spend the whole day trying to answer this question. Boy Shmuel. So let's think it over. Reuben borrows $1,000 from Shimon. Shimon comes and says, Reuben, where's the $1,000? I don't have it. So Shimon says, you know what? If you don't have it, I'm going to take fields away from you. I'm getting the chasim mishubadim. Because I don't have any fields. He says, well, why not? When I lent you this money, you had fields. He says, yeah, but I sold it to everybody. So Reuven has the right to go to those people and take the fields away. And it's not, you can't have a tie on those people. Those people should have known. It's a big, there's a call, there's a record that this person owes money to Reuven, and you're buying it at your own risk. Right? This Shimon's a very, very shady person now. He's selling land when he owes money to Reuven. So Levi, who bought that land, should have known. Therefore, Reuven can take the land away from Levi. Can Levi come back to Shimon and say, Shimon, make me whole? Absolutely. Absolutely. Levi comes back to Shimon and says, we're going to talk about that also. What's going on here, Shimon? You promised me that Reuven would never come to me. Told me you had money for Reuven. Now here he is. Right? So we're talking about Achrayas. Achrayas means in a shtar. It's a shtar. So before anybody purchased land, they do it today. They would go to the, they have a title company, and they see. Any liens, anything going on over here? No different. What if, at the time of the sale, Shimon didn't have any land? Right? He didn't have any land. But then a month later, he bought land. Does that land become a shubat to Reuven? Does that land become a Shubat to Reuven? That's the question we're going to be discussing. At the time of the loan, he didn't have anything. So either Reuven hoped he would have, Reuven was a nice guy, whatever Reuven's cheshbon was. There was no security to pay this debt. But a month later, Shimon has it. Can Reuven take that land now? That's the question we're going to deal with the entire day. Okay? No. And we're going to refine the question and say, the question really is, Shimon bought the land and then sold it. That's really the question. It's going to take us 10 lines to realize that's really the question. Shimon bought the land and then sold it. Now Reuven says, no, you had land and you sold it? What kind of chutzpah is that? You owed me money. Right? Where's the money? It's buried in the backyard. Nobody can find it. Right? So Shimon says, I don't have. Can Reuven take that land? That's the question we're going to deal with the whole day. Okay? Ready? Here we go. By Shmuel. Shmuel asked the following question. Di'ikni. Let's say they even mention that at the time of the loan. Reuven lends Shimon $1,000. And they write, Di'ikni, I will pay you anything, even if I buy it later. Anything I acquire later can be indebted to you. They write it in the document on January 1st. They write down, I owe you $1,000. And anything I buy in the next year will become a shuvah to you. Is that good? What's that called? Anything I buy, now, the land's bala olam, the land's in the world. Right? It's just not in my possession. Is that considered bala olam or not? Had that already. That's what's going on over here. Di'ikni, anything I will buy in the future, right? Vikana, and then Itaka buys it. Mahu, what's the din? Okay? Ali b'di Rav Meir, according to Rav Meir, d'amar adamat nedav shelo bala olam, that a person could buy things in the future, things that don't exist. Lo tibaylach. That's not a kasha. Why? Devadai kana. That's for sure going to work. For sure going to work. According to Rav Meir, for sure it's going to work. Ella, but, now, one second. Where are we? D'amar adamat nedav shelo bala olam, lo tibaylach. That's for sure going to work. Right, kiti ella kiti baylach. What's the kasha? Aliba de rabbanon. According to the rabbanon, the army who say ain adam makdavah shalom bala olam. You can't buy things that don't exist. They're not yet in the world. You can't make a kinyan on things. They're not yet in the world. So Shimon can't promise Reuven, I will pay you back with land I don't own yet. Right, that's the kasha. However, what if he buys it? So if he buys it, then does it become a shubah to Reuven or not? That's Shmuel's question. Now, before we go on. We had this already. So didn't Tosos points this out? Didn't Rav Meir say that the only time he holds that a davar shelo bala olam that's the makar. The makar is by the ger. I'm gonna marry you on condition that you become a ger. Right now she's a guy, or I'm a guy. Either one. So Rav Meir says good condition. Why? Because he holds davar shelo bala olam is a good kinyan. So we said, that's the makar. And then we said that's not the makar. Right? The Ravah said he doesn't know what the makar is. We threw up his hand. I don't know what the makar is, but we know Rav Meir holds this way. So Batosva says, but even, that's true, but the thing with the bud is also true. That only if it's right here, but there's a tree right here, but right now there's no bud. But it's going to grow. Every year the apple tree grows. So why should this year be different? So right now there are no apples. But they're going to grow next few months. It's going to happen. Tu B'Shvat's right around the corner, right? It's going to happen. That's the only time we say davar shelo bala olam, right? Right? But who said I'm going to buy nechasim? Right? Who said I'm going to? I could tell you the apples on the tree. Either on or apples on the tree. Yeah, but they're going to come. Right? It's davar shelo bala olam, but the tree's right here. It's going to happen. It's no question about it. It's going to happen. Who said I'm going to buy nechasim? What kind of davar shelo bala olam is that? I'm going to buy. Of course it's land in the world. Who said I'm going to buy it? By the tree, we know the apples are going to grow. So they're not right here right now. So Rav Meir says it's not a problem. Big deal, so they're not here right now. They're going to be here in the next few months. No question about it. Right? That's what Rav Meir says. It doesn't say over here. So Tosfos answers. He makes a big distinction between a kinyan, which a kinyan has to be here, and the fact that you're indebting yourself. I'm indebting myself to pay this debt to you. I'm promising that I will pay the debt with anything I purchase. When that's what you're saying, we're even more mekel. Then it doesn't even have to be here. It doesn't have to be davar shelo. When do we say davar shelo bala olam? Has to be at least something here. The tree has to be here. That's if it's a kinyan. I'm selling it to you. Here, I'm not making a kinyan with you. I'm promising to pay you. That we're even more mekel. That's Tosus's answer. Okay? Now, okay, yeah.
The case case actually makes sort of sense.
It does make sense.
If with the person's, I'm talking mechanically, how it's going to work. The person goes and he says, I have nothing, there's no Meshuggah
I have no Meshuggah properties, but I'm going to buy one next week.
Right, but I'm guaranteeing on something else that I'll have later on.
Right. Right. So that's what that's what Tosa says. Tosa says, according to a mayor, if you said, I'm selling you the apples, what apples? Oh, from the tree I'm going to buy. Even Rebbe would hold that's nothing. Right? Nothing. There's nothing going on. Here, we would not say that. Why? Because it's not a kinyan. You're indebting yourself. That's right. It makes a big difference. It makes a lot of sense. Others say...
It's not even a problem. Contra abundant.
What? Oh, so Lamaisa, it's not here. So that's the Gemara's question. According to Reb Meir, it's a shaila. The question is according to the Chachamim. So even within Reb Meir, we had a question. Wait a minute. When did Reb Meir say he's din? Only if the tree's here. The tree's not even here. I didn't buy anything yet. Who said I'm going to buy? The answer is, it's not a Kenyan. That's one answer. Other answer is, they say, you're right, but we want to encourage people to lend money. They'll tell us Dallas, but they love it. We don't want people to close the door in your face. So we're more makel, people will be encouraged to lend money. So I know I'm never going to get, never going to see his money. The guy doesn't have anything. But anything he buys I can attach, I'll be willing to lend. Anything he buys in the future I can hop, I'll be willing to lend. Why? I have protection. Right? He's a tumbler. This guy's a tumbler. He'll buy something in the next year. I get it. It's mine. I'll be much more willing to lend money. That's another reason why over here we make them. That's all in Reb Meir. Now, what about the Chachamim? Will all this apply to Chachamim also? That's the question. It's good stuff, right? That's the question. Right? So, Amar Rav Huna, Tashma. Tashma. Now, there's a whole story over here. What happened? Reuven walks over to Shimon. This is the background. It's in Ksuvis. Reuven walks over to Shimon and says, Shimon, you owe me money. So Shimon says, I paid you. Not only did I pay you, but Reuven, one second, let me just make sure I got the case right. Reuven comes over to Shimon and says, Shimon, I have a shtar that says you owe me money. Right? I have a shtar. Shimon says, I paid you. Normally, we would never believe Shimon. Why would we never believe Shimon? Why does Reuven have the shtar? If Shimon paid back, Shimon was supposed to demand that shtar and rip it up. He didn't do that. So normally, we'd never believe Shimon in such a case like this. I have a shtar, I paid you. Shimon says, you owe me money? And Shimon says, no, I paid you. We'd never believe Shimon in a million years. Why? What's Reuven doing with the shtar? We never believe you. But Shimon gets up and says, you should believe me over here. You know why? Because Reuven, you sold me land. You sold me land. I have a shtar here that you sold me land. If I owed you money, you never would have given me the land. You would have taken the money and paid off the debt. So of course I paid you back. Okay? You hear?
Yeah.
You sold me land. I have a document here that you sold me this piece of land. It's a raya that I paid you back. Is that a good raya? That's a machlokas tanoim in Ksuvis. Okay? So Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, that's not a raya. It's not a raya at all. As a matter of fact, Zehoya Pikeach. This Reuven's a very smart guy. Why did he sell land to Shimon? So Shimon has land that he can seize. That's why he sold it. The money I can never get, because the money they bury. The land is there. So of course I'll sell him land. Why? That I can take it. But wait a minute. This land wasn't owned at the time of the loan. What do you see? You could do it. Right? This Reuven was a smart guy. He sold him the land. So he can go take it back. Very smart. It's not a riot that he paid him back the loan. Of course not. What did Reuven say? Listen, like, I want the land. I'll gladly get it. I can get it back, get my money back. Otherwise, I'll never get it. I'll never see that money. What do you see? You see from here that you can seize it. Right? Amalei Rava. So Rava says, no. Minei kamarta. You're trying to bring a riot from this story? From the fact that he has the land, you can seize it? That's no shiloh. Of course you can seize it. Minei kamarta. Minei afil glimad al kitzpe. You can even take the shirt off his back. Tosfos says, assuming he has another shirt. To seize property that he owns at the moment, there's no shiloh. There's no shiloh you can take it away. from the guy who owes you the money? No shaila at all. That's not a shaila. Of course you could take it. You can go into his house and take anything. Assuming you could seize it, he owes you $1,000. You'll walk in, you'll take his iPod, you'll take his extra suit, you'll take anything you can. You'll take his field, you'll take anything. That's not a shaila. Keep coming by, you know what the shaila was? The itni, where you promised that anything you purchase will become indebted. The kana, and then you purchase something. Umachar, then you sold it. That's what you did. So again, Reuven lends Shimon $1,000. They make a document that says Shimon owns nothing. Anything I buy in the future becomes indebted to you. That is no shaila becomes indebted. No shaila about that. What did Shimon do? He sold it to Levi. Now, can Reuven go to Levi and take the field away? At the time of the loan, there was no document. There was no field. So any future fields that are indebted, they get taken from the third party? That we don't know. That was Shmuel's kasha. The ikni, he bought it. The ikni means he wrote in the shtar, anything I will acquire. Uma kana, he bought something. Umachar, and he sold it. Right? Or the ikni, he purchased, he promised he'd pay anything he bought. Kana, he bought something, and then he died. Behovers, and then the son yarshins it.
So what is that? So if it's directly between the Lavan and the Malve, even if it's really like Dabash Lava or whatever.
Right, that'll for sure be good. And then we have the reasons. Either because it's a shibud, it's not a kinyan, or because we want to encourage lending.
Right, so it's only Bashman.
Right? Those two reasons apply. It ends up by a third party. So is that third party charged with knowledge of a loan? That's the whole shiloh. What?
Here he's saying the ikne.
And the ikne, and then he sold it.
But the ikne is anything I will acquire.
Right. So we have a kasha. It's not a shalom alolam. No, don't get so bent out of shape about that. It's only a kshibud, not a kinyan.
Right.
So, but then he sold it to someone else. If he still had it, of course he could take it. He could take anything. He could take a shirt. The question, to pay off the debt. The question is, he doesn't have it. He sold it. So can you go to that third party? Now, that third party, what can that third party say? I didn't know about this loan. Why should I be stuck holding the bag?
That's our case every single time. Though. But not, that's our case every single time.
No.
There's always that answer. This other person's coming inside here. He had no idea that there's a lien on the
But isn't he supposed to know?
He didn't know there's a lien on the pot. He's supposed to do his research.
No, so...
That's a thousand times.
What?
Every single time we've had a case, it's always been the same thing.
No, what's different about this one? When Levi wants to buy, when Levi's walking on Shabbat, buy land. So he goes over to Shimon. Shimon, do you have land to sell? He says, yeah, I have this land for 20 years. Well, do you owe anybody money?
There's a difference between when you got...
The answer is, yeah, I owe people money. So I don't want to buy it because it could be taken away from me.
Right?
So what's different here?
No, he didn't own the property yet.
Yeah.
What?
He didn't own the property yet.
The guy owns it when he's ready, the loan was going on. So therefore, that's your responsibility to check it out. But here, where you're supposed to anticipate that the guy's going to buy
exactly.
The property, this and that, that's impossible.
Right. So that's the question.
So therefore, that's a different situation.
That's a different situation. That's our question. Good? Amar Rav Huna, let's try to answer that question. Toshma, it says in our Mishnah... Ready? It says in our Mishnah. You hear what we're doing now? Nafal alav alabayit alav yalaviv. If a house fell on Reuven and on his father Yaakov, right? The house fell on both of them, or alav yalmorishav, or on Reuven and another relative. Doesn't make a difference. V'haisel of ksuvas isha ubalchov, and Reuven owed his wife a ksuva, and he owed $1,000 to Shimon. Right? Yarshei ha'av. Omrim, the Yarshe of Zay, Haben Meis Rishon. Who died first? The son, Reuven. V'achakach Meis Ha'av. And then Yaakov, the father, died. Ubalchovos Omrim, and those people that are owed money say, Nah, Ha'av Meis Rishon. Right? The father died first. Right? Now, V'sol Kedaita. If you think the Ikni, that in the case of Ikni, what do we say Ikni? We said two things. He said, anything I buy, and then I sell it, or I die and I yarshin it. Right? So what happened over here? This Reuven had a deal with Shimon. He owed Shimon $1,000. And he told Shimon, anything I buy, And then even if I sell it, or even if I die and give it to, as a Yerusha, you could come take it away. So wait a minute. Esal kedaitach, the ikni, that anything I buy, and then machar, I bought it. Kana, I bought it. Machar, I sold it. Or, the ikni, anything I buy, kana, I bought something, vahorish, and I actioned it because I died. Lo mishtabed, if that doesn't work, right? If that doesn't work, therefore, if that doesn't work, this Shimon, right? What can he do with this land? It doesn't work. Then, nihinami, it's true, the of mesberesha, that if the father died, the of mesberesha, that if the father died first, the ignihu. It's a case of ikni. Why? One second. How we read this? How do we read this? So we're trying to say, one second, the of Meis Bereisha, that if the father died first, the Ignihu. Why? At the time of the loan, he didn't have these karkas. After that, they came into his possession. Right? If Igni doesn't work, there should be no debt.
Exactly.
Right?
No.
What the Baal Chov said is irrelevant.
To the leads.
Then nobody should be able to take anything away from the Yarshim.
Exactly.
Because it's already by somebody else.
And the halacha is, Ikni does not work. So the Baal Chov has no claim.
Right.
So what's the Mishnah talking about? Mishnah Baal Chov says, I think the father died first. It's irrelevant.
Right.
It's irrelevant. He's never going to see that land. He's never going to see that money. It's irrelevant. It must be it works. If it doesn't work, what's the Mishnah talking about? Right? It must be it works. Very good. It's a raya from our Mishnah that it must work. Right? It must work. So, Amaluhu Rav Nachman, Zeira Chevran Tirgama. Now, Zeira, our friend, explained, not necessarily true that it has to work. Rather, what's going on over here? No, mitzvah yisomim lefroa chovas avihem. It's a mitzvah on the yisomim to pay back the debt of their father.
Hold on. The father's got a lien on the property.
Not the father. The son.
Father's got a lien on the property.
Right.
The son, Yashin, is the father. They can't come and take the prop and still take the property?
No. No,
once the property is yashed over, the lien's gone?
That's what we're saying. That if it's in case of ikni, I will acquire it later.
For the son.
And I sell it, or I yashin it.
For the son.
Right?
For the father I'm talking about.
What do you mean? What's the case?
Father owes money. Father.
What happened?
With the lien on the property. Father dies.
Right.
They come over to the son. He won't collect the money now.
They do have to pay. Yes, no question about that. No question about that.
So here it's our case, it's exact opposite. The son owes now money.
Right.
Son does not own property, though. The father owns the property. Isn't that the case?
Yeah.
The father dies.
One second. What's the case? What does it say over
there? The Mishnah is where the son owns the money.
The son owes the money.
But he has no property.
Right. So then
the father dies.
And then
he yashes the property.
And so now he has stuff.
Now he has property.
About hope to collect from.
It's the same case in the Mishnah.
The case in the Mishnah was right. Reuven, the son, owes the money.
But he has no ship of property.
But he owes money. Doesn't have any property. So the Baal Chov says, well, you know what happened? The Yaakov died first.
Right.
Reuven yarshened everything.
Right.
And then I'm going to get it from him.
Right.
So why doesn't that work? Because if it doesn't work,
then it shouldn't work.
Why not?
For all the reasons we gave before.
Why not? Let's say why not again. Because Ikni, what's the case over here? So then, Reuven got the land from his father. He yarshened it from his father.
Right.
So look what the Gemara says. Nihi nami. Even if it's true, the mispiratia. Even if it's true that Yaakov died first. Right?
Yeah.
The Iknihu. It's a case of Ikni. Why? At the time of the loan, Reuven had nothing to pay back with.
Right.
Right? Then what happened? the father died.
He ushers the property. Now it's so.
Now the Baal Chol thinks he's coming to get it, but the point is it's
Ah, no, that's not the issue.
Why? What do you mean?
No, we're talking about a case like this.
In the Mishnah?
Right, in the Mishnah. He owed the father money.
Yeah.
He owed this guy money.
Son.
The son owed this guy, this third party money. A week before he died, he bought land.
Who bought land?
Reuven.
That's what
the Gemara is saying. That's what we're saying. He bought land.
Yeah.
He bought land. Right? Then he died. Right? Then he died.
Right.
And the land gets yarshed into his son. Can this fellow go to Reuven's son and say, pay me back?
Wait a second. He bought the land after the son's loan.
He lent, on January 1st, he borrowed $1,000. On February 1st, he bought land. On March 1st, the house collapsed.
Wait a second. Do this again. The father bought property?
No, Reuven.
Reuven owes money.
Reuven, on January 1st, Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. On February 1st, he bought land.
Okay.
And Shimon didn't know that.
Right.
That's the case of Itni. He bought it after the loan.
Okay, so
March 1st, the house collapses.
That's right.
Now, this Shimon runs and says, oh, the father died first. Therefore, I'm owed the money.
Who cares if the father died first? Reuven owns property.
What?
Who cares if Reuven owns property?
And what did he do with the property?
He can take it out, sold it.
He didn't sell it. He died. So what happened? He yarshed it to his kids. No difference between selling it and yarshing it.
Oh, so Reuven's doing it now to his children now.
Exactly. So what does this guy, this Shimon say? Oh, the father died first. Therefore, I can get paid back. What do you mean you can get paid back? It's a case of Itni.
So wait a second. So which land is he thinking he's getting?
The land that Reuven... No, that's not what we thought. That's not what he's thinking. He just doesn't want Reuven to die first. Because if Reuven dies first, he'll never see the money.
We didn't understand the fact that there's now a third generation.
Right.
There's a father, son, and a grandson.
Right.
What's the difference? So this has nothing to do with...
Because if it's a son...
No, the point is, the Mishnah said...
The son's out of his control already.
Right.
The son's already out of his control.
The point is, the Mishnah said that the Baal Chov comes running and says, Yaakov, the father, died first. So it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Either way, if Itni doesn't work, you're not seeing this land. Why? Because Reuven gave it to his kids. What's the difference if he sold it or if he yarshened it? No difference. You'll come running, oh, it must be the father died first. Even if the father died first, he's not getting it. It's irrelevant.
The father's irrelevant.
What do you mean? The Baal Chov comes running, the father died first, therefore Reuven owns everything.
Right. And then he got killed in this thing. So therefore,
he yarshed it to his son.
So Baal Chov has no shaykes to go to his son.
Exactly. Now, if they own the land beforehand, there's no question that children have to pay the debt of their father.
Right. Okay.
No question about that.
Yeah.
But there's no child about that. Right. But here, he's got it afterwards.
Right.
So nothing different if he sold it or if he died. What's the difference?
Yes,
so they come running.
What does that have to do with the father?
They'll have to do with
he
the father.
He himself has his own land.
Right. So let's say the father didn't own anything.
The father owned land the whole time.
I understand.
So it must be, let's say the father didn't own land. So the father's irrelevant. They come running. The father died first.
Because
if Reuven died first, then they for sure don't see anything. Why? Because in Yaakov, the father yarshened everything. And then he died. Who yarshens it now? Yaakov's brother. He doesn't have to pay back a debt of his nephew.
Only the son has to.
Okay. Then they're never going to see the money. So they come running and say, Yaakov died first. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant if Yaakov died first. Why is it irrelevant? Because Reuven died. Once Reuven died, anything he acquired after the date of the sale goes to Reuven's children, lock, stock, and barrel.
Right?
It's irrelevant they come running. Where are they running? They should say, you know what? We blew it. We're not going to see a penny from this. The guy died. What can we do? By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah says they are coming to run, obviously, Itni works. Obviously, they can get the money from Reuven's kids. And what do they say? Yaakov died first. If Yaakov doesn't die first, they can't see the money. So they come running, Yaakov must have died first.
Well, sorry, but the mission doesn't... We don't poskim necessarily that's their grit. They just run over there.
They just run over there. So what do you see? This whole concept of Itni works.
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility to work. No! They should pay it back anyway. Anyway, they should pay it back. Why? They don't want to have it. It's a bizarre to their father. They come to shul and everyone says, what do you think these kids are doing? They owe me so much money to the father, they won't pay. Do they have to pay? They don't have to pay. It would be nice if they did. So for that reason, they should pay. That's why they're running. Halachically, it's not a riot. I'll see the way. They should pay because it's a nice thing to do. Right? So Rabbi Akiva asked a very interesting question. He says, wait a minute. You know, there's a halacha that you only have to pay, you only have to do kibbut of from your father's money. If your father says, I want you to pick me up from the airport. I said, fine, Dad, but you're paying for the tolls. That's the halacha. No problem. So here, they're being mekayim, their father's, they're doing kibbut of aim with their own money. Right? They don't have to pay this back. They're only doing it, so no one should think the father was a deadbeat. Right? They don't have to pay it back.
They got money from their father.
Well, that's his answer. Mm-hmm. The answer is the money came from the father. Right. The money came from the father. So really, it's theirs, true. But it came from the father. Right? Okay. Try again. Right? Maskevlo Ravashi. Ravashi asked the following question. Milva al pehu. 1 minute. If it's true that this land does not have to be paid back at all, such a type of kinyanim, purchases that you purchase after the date of the loan, are not indebted, right? They don't become indebted, and the lender, this Shimon fellow, can't get the money back from any land that's bought afterwards. If that's all true, then milva al pehu, then this loan is really, the shtar is worthless. The shtar is worthless. Why is it worthless? Because at the moment of the shtar was written, on January 1st, there was no debt. He didn't have any money to pay back. He didn't have any land to pay back. Right? What do we say? Well, anything I buy later, you could get. If you can't get it, then the document's a worthless piece of paper. Therefore, it becomes like a milval peh. And Rabbi Shmuel Darmat Havayu, milval peh, ain't a gova, lo mani yarshim, v'lo man halakuchos. Right?
So in other words, I think we're asking, how are you saying that it's a mitzvah and you do it, but otherwise you do it
on the nothing to do with the mitzvah. Nothing to do with the mitzvah. Nothing to do with the mitzvah. Just, No, you're right.
Yeah, so now we're saying if that's the truth.
If it's true, it shouldn't work at all. There'd not even be a mitzvah. The whole thing's a milval peh. And if it's a milval peh, there's no chiyuv to pay back your father's debt at all. Not even as a hider, not even keep it up aim. There's nothing at all. If this document is worthless, then it's as if it's not a document. And it's a milval peh. Milval peh. Some don't have to pay. Yarsha don't have to pay. Right? So, Ella, Hamani, how do we answer this whole Mishnah? How do we explain all this? Remeir he, it's Remeir. That's the only way we can answer this. Is it a raya to our question? Not a raya to our question, either way. Why are you paying it? Why would you have to pay it? Because you're halakha Remeir. Remeir, no shayla, you have to pay it. Right? Right? Next. See, the truth is, even if we don't finish the whole thing today, tomorrow's Amud Aleph. It's tiny. See Amud Aleph tomorrow? It's tiny. So it's a Mishnah. I mean, Tosfos didn't think it was so tiny. He had a lot to say. But if we don't finish everything today, we'll finish it tomorrow. Elohomani. Fine. Amar Yaakov Minahar Pakod B'Shmei D'Ravina. Toshma. Listen to this. Shtarchov HaMukdamin. If a Shtarchov is predated, right? I borrowed. Rashbam picks the borrowed money on the first day of Pesach. So everyone says he didn't mean the first day of Pesach. He's not allowed to write on the first day of Pesach. He just picked a day. He wrote Tesvav Nisan. You write it there, Tesvav Nisan. Now, that didn't happen. Nobody loans money on the middle of Pesach. But you wrote Tesvav, the loan took place on Erev Pesach. But you wrote it, it took place on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's what you did. You wrote it, you made it earlier. So what's the story over there? Psulin. It's Pasul. Why is it Pasul? Because anything that was purchased between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Erev Pesach is now open for debt. But that's not true. Right? I'm sorry.
It's
open to being meshubid. It's open to being meshubid. It's not true. The debt only is chal on Rosh Chodesh, on Erev Pesach. Not earlier. What about the other way around? What if you wrote it later date? I borrowed money Erev Pesach. And we wrote the loan takes place Erev Shavuos. Who's getting harmed by that? The lender. Right? The lender. So if the lender agrees to get harmed by that, who cares? Hamucharin, ksherin. That's kosher. Now wait a minute. Esau kedaitach, de ikni, kana, umachar, D'ikni, kana v'horish, lo mishtabed, if ikni doesn't work, in other words, if I cannot go after that land that was bought after the time of the loan and then sold to a third party, I can't go after that land. If I can't go after that land, then hamucharin, then if a debt is, if a star has the wrong date later in time, it's a post-dated error, right? Am I ksherin? Why is this kosher? Why is this a kosher document? Ikniu, it's a case of ikni. Right? If the debt happened in Nisan, right? And between Nisan, and between Erev Pesach and Erev Shavuos, the guy bought land. He bought land between Erev Pesach and Erev Shavuos, and then he sold that land to a third party. What's the halacha now? Debt, the document says Erev Shavuos. Right? It's a mistake. Right? If I would be able to take that land away, why? Because ikni works. I'll say, if it doesn't work. 1 minute. It must be that ikni works. Right? Okay. Must be that ikni works. Because if ikni didn't work, then all post-dated shtaros should be void. Is that it? If ikni doesn't work, right? Then all post-dated shtaros should be void. Why? They're not void. They work. They're good. We said, the lender wants to do that, let him do it. Right? That must mean ikni doesn't work. Why? Because if ikni would work, nobody in their right mind would ever agree to this. Is that what we're saying? If ikni would work, if the loan takes place on Erev Pesach, right? Rosh Chodesh Iyar, 2 weeks later, what happened? The guy buys land and then sells it to someone else. But we didn't write that in the document. We didn't write this loan takes place till Erev Shavuos. So normally we say that's good. But if ikni works, if I can get that land, then this post-dated shtar should be possible. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, number six.
What? Number six. So therefore, you see from this fact that post-dated documents are valid. What do you see? That ikni works. Right? You see from here that ikni works. Right? It's a raya that this works. Says the Gemara, no raya. Same answer. Hamani, who's this author? Rameir hi the Amar Adamat Dava Shalvala Olam. It's Rameir. It's the only reason why it works is because he holds you can be mocked to things that don't exist. Okay? We'll stop here. I know we didn't get that far. We'll stop here. We're not so behind. I mean, we're a little behind, but tomorrow we'll catch up, because tomorrow Omen Aleph is just the Mishnah. So hopefully we'll catch up tomorrow. It's not so difficult at all. It's actually the same Mishnah as today, just instead of a father and a son, it's a husband and a wife. So who owns the Ksuva? The Nichsei Malog, the Nichsei Tzom Barzel, that's what tomorrow's Mishnah is about. Omen Beis is also very short. So Mir Tzashem, we'll catch up tomorrow. Everybody have a good day.